Hi everyone, and welcome back to the BPN podcast, your go-to space for all things personal development, career support, and well-being for apprentices. I'm Ant, and I'm joined this time by my co-hosts, Anne-Marie and Supriya.
Hello everybody.
Hi everyone.
Hi, lovely. And for this particular podcast, where we'll be discussing organisational values, I'm delighted to also welcome back our special guest, Steph Lana-Pickin, who is a participant on our school Senior Leader Level 7 apprenticeships.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Steph, and thanks for joining us again. Okay, then, so we're considering organisational values here. Obviously, this is from a strategic leadership perspective. This is a Level 7 podcast for our Level 7 Senior Leader Apprenticeship. Anne-Marie, I know you'd like to open with some thoughts on that today. What's your...
That's right. Yeah, so organizational values, I always think about the importance of sharing values and how they're actually shared with everybody. How is it communicated to staff, non-teaching staff, stakeholders, parents, but also anybody who's actually coming through the door. It could be, you know, your cleaning staff as well, your dinner ladies as well. How is it actually shared with them? Is it shared? Is it clear enough? I think we have mentioned before as well, how is it displayed around the school maybe? But is it just displayed, or how is it actually embedded in our behaviour and the clarity of it, how concise it is as well? I don't know if you've got any...
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Anne-Marie, especially because these values, then you start thinking, are these values just espoused values, which are just there on the display, which sound good, because no school would ever go for any values that are going to be negative. So they're all very positive, very aspirational. But equally, we need to start thinking, how many of these values are the actual values? How many of these values you would see them in behaviors day in, day out, in situations where, you know, where things are going smoothly, equally in situations where things are really, really toxic, or situations where you have to show your strategic leadership.
Mm. Yeah. Because I think, yeah, that's interesting. Well, that for me is the kind of litmus test, the testing point of, are your values on the wall? Or are they, as you've said, are they espoused, or are they actually, you know, something that's a living thing within the organization? Yeah, typically you're not going to have negative values. So is it the values themselves or the behaviors of the people? I mean, Steph, what are your thoughts as a practitioner now on that?
I think for me, it is huge that any setting, whatever your values are that you as an organization have chosen, if somebody comes to your setting, whoever that might be, any stakeholder, parent, governor, guest speaker, even, you know, supplier staff, if they're coming in, can they come in and speak to someone in your organisation, anyone, you know, staff member, pupil, whoever that might be? Can they tell you what your values are? Can they explain them and what they mean? And, you know, can they give examples of where they've been used? But also, what behaviours does that visitor to your school then see to that end? You know, are they seeing, if your value is kindness, are they then seeing pupils holding doors? Mm. Are they then seeing, you know, those values being lived between the different members of the school community?
Mm. Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, the kind of holding door thing, is it? Yes, I used to feel all the time that I was modelling this. I was always modeling permanently, walking around. People can have, you know, lots of different challenges. I know there's lots of discussion around the way that staff present themselves. You know, is the value of the organization mean that staff dress a certain way or style themselves in a certain way? Does that lend itself then to the values of the community, etc.? It's a community setting. You know, how does that then hit upon everybody else, and to what degree are you kind of managing things like tensions within the organization? You have to consider, how do your values measure up to people versus the performance of all the people within the organization? You know, it might sound all lovely that we're all nice to each other, but if somebody's underperforming or behaving inappropriately, how do your values then address that? You can have things like ethics versus finance. Ethically, we want to do this. Financially, we can't afford it. So how are our values going to back it up? You know, other things in, you know, short-term plans, long-term plans, etc., you know, within the community. Any thoughts on that? Anybody, you know, in terms of how that would, you know, impact within the setting?
Yeah, I think even for us, you know, as practitioners in schools, sometimes you see the values almost to different degrees within your teams. You know, if you sit around a table as a senior leadership team and say, you know, two of your values are caring and achieving, you might see those two values expressed differently between different people based on what, you know, those individuals, what their internalized values actually are. So, you know, somebody might hold caring, someone might hold achieving, and then the expression of that, you know, might then, you know, lead people to, you know, advocate for different approaches or different areas based on that.
Yeah. So what does one person mean? You can have the word on the wall, can say caring, but what is one person's idea of caring compared to another? Yeah, can be very, very different.
It's also about shaping that culture as well and having, obviously, the expectation. And if you look at your SLT team as well, we're all different. And you did mention, Steph, in the past as well, I remember, that you mentioned that we're all going to have one, or we're good at one value or a couple of values. And I think it'd be very important to be part of the SLT team to have different people who will be, you know, holding those values and bettering those values, but the accountability as well for everybody. And like you say, that modeling all the time is so important as senior leaders. But if we have a new, what always surprises me, and the question as well I'm going to ask is, when you have a new head teacher, a new leadership team, is there a need to revalue or reshare the values, or do you think it's better to actually wait and maybe relaunch some values as well? That could be not having to change them, but relaunching them as well. I don't think it would be a good idea personally to come in and change everything, which I have done something similar in the past as a role I had, and thinking, oh, I'll be able to do this. Actually, it didn't work the way I wanted to. So changing everything straight away, probably not a good idea in my experience. But what about yours, Ant, in your experiences?
Well, I was going to bounce it back, actually, because Supriya, I know you've got experience in the area. You know, would that be something that you would automatically do, just kind of new broom is the phrase?
Yeah, I mean, as Anne-Marie was talking about it, I was reminded about a situation we were like that, and where the new head wanted to come and change things and actually realize that what was needed was to relook at it, to give it a fresh start to it. Presumably because the new head would have taken on the role because their personal and professional values aligned with the organization's values. And I think when you take on, when you apply for a role, alongside looking at the Ofsted reports and, you know, what the Twitter says, you are all equally looking at the vision of the organization, even if it's been put there by the previous head. But equally, you're looking at the values because, as Anne-Marie said, the culture is driven by the values. And if the values don't align, or the organization doesn't align with your own personal values, why would you go go and take on this unless it is something that is really, really required? It gives a message, isn't it, to staff who are already there, saying that whatever you've been living with has been not great or nonsense, and therefore here I come with solutions to the problems that you have. And that just sets a very wrong tone. And I quite like the idea of the new leadership team trying to see, again, going back to my concept of these values, how many of them are just espoused values and how many are actual values and what could be done. And taking on Steph's point that each value, what does that mean to a staff? what does it mean to a child and how are they different? And is there any, you know, commonality in all those different concepts? And do we bring them all together and then work together as a team? So it's quite important to just pay a bit more attention to the values so that we all, you know, have that resonance within the organization.
I remember spending an inset day, you know, the one we have when we come back after the summer, to relaunch the values, actually, with especially with new member of staff. I thought that was really important at the setting I was at the time, to relaunch them. And we were all starting on the same expectation at the beginning. And then I remember the first, we had an assembly with the children as well, to relaunch those as well, because within 3-6 weeks, you know, time of holiday, they do forget sometimes. So I thought that was just some ideas for our audience, really, our listeners today.
I think sort of adding to what you've just said, Anne-Marie, I think certainly when you're looking at values and when you're looking at sort of value-driven practice, I think I'm always very mindful that values are not a stick with which to beat people. These very, very much, they are the supportive element. They are the driver. They are our why, you know, and making sure that that is reflected in what happens, especially, you know, thinking of a staff example. If I'm thinking about introducing a new policy, new practice, new way of working, you know, where does that fit with our values? And am I shoehorning it in, or does it genuinely fit and align? And is this the right thing for our organization? And that's something that I'm thinking about all the time, you know, as a leader.
Yeah. And the idea of revisiting them, certainly for me, I mean, that's all, I'm all for that. I go back, you know, originally primary practitioner, and I was always intrigued by the kind of sense, anybody listening now thinking, does this ring true with you? Where you sort of say, especially in primary or fractions, we did that in term one, or, you know, if it's a secondary setting, or no, we did whatever, a period in history or a particular artist, all of that was done then and that was the end of it. And I used to think, you know, every kind of 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the start of each day, I would go through with the kids and we would pick up on something. We would say, okay, well, tell me the features of a persuasive letter. Okay, now the next day you'd be telling me the features of this. And this constant drip feed of the thing, you know, the kids would love it because you'd make it into a game. But actually, of course, you do it all the time. You know, you're always saying, no, say please, say thank you, you know, behave respectfully. Are we doing that consistently in the setting, both with the staff, the pupils, the community, the wider community? As you said, Anne-Marie, you know, is it being constantly revisited? Is it being actioned, not espoused? As you said, Supriya, you know, it's embedded within everything we do, really. I've got a couple of things to kind of question. So as you're listening now, and think to yourselves, you know, if we approached you, as we've said earlier, you know, if somebody walks in to your setting, would people be able to, you know, as Steph said at the start, could people articulate them? You think questions like, how clear are your organization values in practice? And also, how consistently are they understood across your organization or organizations? How confident are you personally, and that all of the staff would demonstrate the values if they were under pressure? You know, how visible would they be in decision-making? Are they part of the decision-making process? And then linked to that, we've not touched upon policy kind of procedure at the moment, but thinking, you know, are policies and procedures supporting your values? So if you're saying, well, actually, I'm going to take some time to think about this, or I'm going to do this, or using the for I, me, well, would that be consistent? Is that what your policy stated you're going to do in order to support your values? Or is that just you? Are you just thinking that in the moment as a knee jerk and you're panicking? Or are you saying, actually, our policies support my position, that we will take some time to reflect on what's happening and take a measured approach and investigate? I mean, a couple of you, you're nodding, obviously, where we can see each other within the podcast. We're nodding. Steph, you know, living that at the moment, how does that sort of resonate with you, or does it not resonate?
No, it does. It does, definitely. I think when when things, you know, come up that you've then got to deal with, it is important to, you know, look at the organization's values. And sort of if you are having to, I don't know, put out a statement about a particular issue, it's okay, what does the policy say?
Mm.
What, you know, what action should I be taking? And then also, as part of that, if you were to then say something about it, it's about the organization and making sure that everything aligns, your value, your policy, your procedure, and everything follows, one follows the other, so that then, mm. you know, you have this watertight structure within which to work.
Yeah. Supriya, did you want to come in?
You know, as both Andrew and Steph were talking, one of the things that came to my mind was about the strategic leadership of the governing body of an educational setting. And what I was thinking is that the governing bodies are always asked to look at the policies and ratify it. But how many of the governing body are actually explicitly thinking that how does these policies fit in with the organization values? And I think what we're missing a trick here is to make sure that the policies are always highlighting which of the values they are linked with and how these values, following these policies, will actually help us follow the values and therefore set the culture of the organization with consistency, because everybody's following the values the same way that they should be doing. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to just make sure that our governors are equally signed up to the concept of organizational values and have a say in how the organization runs based on the values.
Well, that's an interesting point. I never did that, actually. I was thinking that, you know, I mean, I know VAK, visual, auditory, kinesthetic learning. You know, there's plenty of research to say that, you know, that pigeonholing somebody into one particular category isn't a healthy thing to do. But I remember in one organization, they insisted on adding an eyeball kind of motif, or an ear. I've got to watch in my Welsh now, I say ear, an ear and a hand, whether it was representing visual, auditory, kinesthetic, to show how their planning was addressing those. I know that's moved on now, but I'm just thinking, yeah, our policies actually, I've never had a policy that stated which of our values this particular policy was relating to and how it was upholding those values. I don't know if people listening could think, might that be of use to consider every policy and procedure you create? How is that the living, breathing part of the espoused version, which is just the values on a wall? I don't know, does that ring with anybody? I'm not sure. Anne-Marie, your thoughts there on that? You've worked for different organisations.
Yeah, I think nowadays, like Steph said, you are revisiting the policies and making sure the values are included in those policies. Something I was just thinking when you were talking as well, I've done in the past as well, ask students or pupils their voice about values. And I remember we changed one of the values to one of the children's words to make sure they were going to, you know, like a buying from them as well. And that's easy enough to refer to the, well, you know, I can't remember respect or another one, but if for instance, if it was respect, we say, well, you know, if you've been quite disrespectful, then we can say, hang on a minute, you know, the value that you've chosen. And straight away was, it did work really well, that one. About 3-4 years ago we did this. So, but yeah, I think nowadays I can see in more settings, values being incorporated in the policies, definitely. When I talk to different leaders,
Steph, is that so? Because because it's your career practicing, is would your policies and procedures state overtly what, you know, which are the values that they were up, that they were particularly upholding? I don't know, or would you agree or disagree with it?
I think it at the moment for me, I think it depends on the policy. I think it would be nice if that was possible, but I also think that, you know, if you think about RSHE policies, they often do relate to your school values quite closely. you know, and when you're writing those, you might refer to the school values in the way in which you approach certain difficult topics, particularly more controversial ones that, you know, parents are going to have worries about. Actually, they're aware of what your school values are when the child comes to your school. And so is that a means with which to reassure people, actually, difficult topics, controversial topics, things that perhaps people are worried about their child hearing, particularly, you know, relating to the sex and relationships elements of that. Actually, our values shine through and dealt with sensitively as part of our values, which is therefore, you know, which is something that they knew about when their child came to the school. I think for me, that's where the values really come into their own. And you see it in the policy, you see it in the practice, and you see it when you're then talking to stakeholders about the school, about what's happening in your setting.
Mm. Oh, a lovely kind of wrap up there, actually. That's a nice message to take away for everybody. You know, that's a lovely kind of thing to take away. And for people to think, you know, what do you think makes your organization's values evidenced? You know, how does it prove, as you've said, is it just something that's on the wall? Something as you're listening now to take away and think, well, are your values explicit? If you're working towards something like your a particular project in within your setting, how do your values shape the decisions? And you know, are your decisions aligned with your organization's values principles? How would you manage and deal with things when under pressure as a leader? Do the values then support that, or do they impede it? Or do they have a negative impact? Or do you find that everybody's making individual decisions, and if it was a different person, there would be a different outcome, which ideally there wouldn't be? As you said, Steph, if you know, policies, procedures, values, everything aligns, then you would have a consistent approach kind of regardless, really. So to kind of wrap things up, thanks everybody today. For those listening, as a reflection, you know, what have you noticed and something that you'd consider or reconsider about your own leadership style in relation to your organization's values? How do you respond when your values are under pressure and those of your organization? And what might you do differently as a result of engaging with the resources or possibly the live classrooms we have that link to this specific podcast? So something hopefully for you to think about post listen today. Many thanks, as usual, to my co-hosts, Anne-Marie and Supriya. And of course, a very special thank you to our special guest, Steph, for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with your network. It really helps us to spread the word. And until next time, take care.